Appreciate those songs this morning. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. A clearer view. And Brother Lucas, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. In Psalm chapter 8, the Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. When you get on a computer to look up an address, many times it'll have the address there, and then it will offer you a map view of the location. And so just like a regular map, the streets and so on. And then oftentimes there's an option for a satellite view. You can zoom in closer, and then a street view. So let's ponder a few of these this morning. Number one, as we think about God, we're talking here. A view from outer space. So I don't know, Brother Joe, if he was able to come up with one. Okay. Well, if we think of the astronauts being on the moon and looking at the Earth and just how beautiful it really is, okay? So that's a pretty scene, too. Okay, so we think of Earth there. So when we think of God, where do we picture him at? Do we picture him far out? In Psalm 8 there, it said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. So, you know, do we picture God as just a long way away? Now, there's two aspects of this where we are picturing God. When we picture God far away and lifted up, the good aspect to that is that it shows us that the glory of his creation. And if you would hold your place right here, just a little bit over here in chapter 19, in Psalm 19, in verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So when we think of that aspect and just the wonder of creation. When you see the earth, I mean, it's just beautiful out there. You think of all the other planets, you know, it's like everything else is in black and white, at least as we look out there with our eyes. But looking back at the earth, you see the color, just the beauty, the power of God. And so when we as men and women, boys and girls, think about God, it's good in the aspect remembering that he is in heaven, the heaven of heavens, and that it would impact our lives. Notice in Isaiah 57, verse 15. Now, how do we get to him? You have people like, I think it's Elon Musk, is talking like Mars type of adventures now, and so we're talking something quite a bit further away than the moon, but the heaven of heavens is much further than that. But in Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is what? Holy. I dwell in the what? High and holy place. Okay, so we think of the moon. It's been a good while since we, America, has sent astronauts to the moon. They're talking now sending some to Mars. But how do you get safely to the moon? How do you get safely to Mars, which is so far away? Well, how do you get to heaven? How do you get to such a high and holy place as heaven? How do you get there? In a lifetime, how do you get there? It says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of what? A contrite and humble spirit. That's how we get there. A contrite spirit is a crushed, a broken spirit. You may say, does God enjoy it when we have crushed and broken hearts? No. It's talking about, it goes on and says, an humble spirit. That is what God desires, is that we be a humble people, not a proud people. So how do we get in such this high and holy place? Through a humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's why if we go over to Matthew chapter 18, the Bible tells us that even a little child can receive Christ as Savior. Even a little child can be sure of going to heaven one day. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1, Matthew 18, 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is what? The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, doesn't that just sound like earthly conversations? You know, in sports, you know, who's the greatest? In racing, who's the greatest? Just with any type of competition, it's always the question, who's the best? Well, they had this question about it in heaven. Verse 2, so what did Jesus do? Jesus called what?
A little child
unto him. And set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as what?
Little
children. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of what? Heaven. So we've got to have that humble spirit before God to go to heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, little children so readily admit that they can't do a lot of things. Mommy, help, help. Now, I also realize they get to a certain age where you try to help them. No, no, I want to do it myself. You know, I know they get, and that's the problem with man. Too many times, man wants to do it himself, and we can't save ourselves. Notice in chapter 19, Matthew 19, verse 14, Matthew 19, 14. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So a little child. So as we think of that picture in your mind about God being high and lifted up. So there's the good aspect of that, healthy respect for our Creator. Notice in Isaiah 45, you know, actually one of the biggest detriments to people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is evolution, because evolution teaches we are just here by random chance or by mistake. There's no purpose for us being here if it's evolution. Because if it was truly evolution, who says man is going to be here in the future and not something else? Isaiah 45:18. The Bible says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Could we bring back up that picture of the earth? And what's different in the picture about the earth and the moon there? It's just, yeah, there's no color. It's dry. There's no air. There's no atmosphere. It's just the blackness of space. So God, the Bible says in Isaiah 45:18 that God created the earth to be inhabited. That's why it looks that way. That's why there's lots of water here. That's why there's oxygen, an atmosphere. So, you know, on the moon, if you're on the moon and in the sun, you'd be frying. You need air conditioning. And if you're on the backside of the moon, you'd be frozen in a moment of time. So our atmosphere holds in the warmth. Our atmosphere keeps the sun from frying us. Why? Because God created the earth to be inhabited. Okay, so it's good to think of God being high in the heavens because it reminds us he's our creator. He's all powerful. But there is a side of that. If you were standing on the moon there right now, you, and you were looking back at the earth, what would be the emotions going through you at that moment? Would anyone have the emotions of loneliness, homesick? Yeah, that's a long ways away. Now, how do you get back home safely? So that's the one aspect about it we need to consider here. So thinking of the Lord high in the heavens is good. It reminds us he's our creator. But on the other side of it, if we only think of God far, far away, millions and millions of miles away, there's going to be some times where we feel lonely. You know, radio communications between the earth and the moon were not like instant. There was a little lag. If those of you who are old enough to remember when there was communication, there was a little lag in time. And some of our space exploration of rovers, satellites out there, when there's communication, it takes a little time. It's just like if you have internet access via satellite, there's some moments there where your communications are going back and forth and slows down things a little bit there. So what about that aspect? Notice with me in Psalm 147. Do you ever feel like God is so far away and you just wish he were closer? Psalm 147, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth," what?
"The broken in heart,
and bindeth up their wounds." You know, doctors can do a lot of things in relation to hearts today, all kinds of things. They can do valve replacements. They can do surgery, they can operate, take tumors right out of the heart. But there's one thing doctors can't do still. They can't fix broken hearts, this type of broken. A doctor can't fix a broken heart, but God can. He can bind up the wounds. Verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by what? Their names. There are so many stars, billions and billions of stars. Man doesn't have them all named. Or even numbered. But God has them numbered and named. And you know what that means for us? That means if God has all the stars, billions and billions of them numbered and named, that means he knows us. Verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is what? Infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. God cares. That's the whole gist of it. God cares. So as we ponder that, let's go to one more verse and we'll move on to the next point. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. So there's the good aspect of picturing God far out there in heaven. He's powerful. We see the glory of his creation. But the other part of it is if we only picture God out that far, there's going to be some lonely times and some times when we think, oh, if God were only here. It'd be like Martha and Mary. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting what? All your care upon him, for he what? He careth for you. Okay, so this view from outer space. Okay, but then when you're looking up an address, you know, you can get like a earth view. So, Brother Joe, did you come up with anything from, okay. So, let's see here. Okay. All right. Okay. So we come in a little closer, okay, and we're starting to see Michigan there, and see some of the freeway system, okay, starting to see roads, all right, and let's see, Wabasses. Deer tracks. Okay. So we're trying to locate the church there. And see, notice the fields now. You're bringing them in. Okay. I see a cross there. Okay. So there's the church right there. Okay. The parking lot. All right. So as we think about the Lord. Now, as we have zoomed in from way out and come in closer to the church now, we have that view. So, and many times we have thoughts about the Lord in the clouds. The Lord is going to come. It's known as the rapture. Rapture means catching away. So the Bible teaches that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in the clouds to catch away all who know him as Savior, all whose sins have been forgiven. Notice with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're looking for the Lord to come in the clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For who? The Lord himself shall descend from where? Heaven. So we've thought about the Lord being high, way out in heaven. Well, he is going to descend in the clouds. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in where? The clouds. To meet who? The Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, when we've received Christ as our Savior, our sins are forgiven. The Lord promises he's coming back. And in a moment of time, the trumpet's going to sound. And those who know Christ as Savior are going to rise in the clouds. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. He's going to take us back to heaven. And what's it going to be like? Well, look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. So it's good to think about God being in the heaven of heavens, our Creator, his power, his glory. But as I said, if you only picture him far out there, at times you're going to feel alone. You're going to feel like there's a lack of communication. So it's good to acknowledge a closer view of him as well. He's coming in the clouds to catch us away. In John 14, 1, he says, let not your heart be what? Troubled. Wouldn't it be very easy right now to have a troubled heart in this world in which we live? There's COVID. There's all kinds of problems. There's Russia talking about going into the Ukraine, China flexing its muscle really against the whole world. There's many things that could trouble a heart. But God says, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. So Jesus is speaking here. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he's doing right now. He's preparing a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Come again. That's what we just talked about. He's coming in the clouds. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, and where is Jesus now? He's in heaven. That where I am, there ye may be also. He's going to catch us up in the clouds and take us with him back to heaven. But now the question is, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Okay, if you were to have a rocket ship right now, okay, what direction would you point it to get to heaven? If you were just trying to get to the moon, when would you take off? There's a lot of calculations, isn't there? So Thomas has this question, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You don't need a rocket ship to get to heaven. You need to be in who? In Christ, in Jesus Christ. We need to be in him, in his righteousness. That's how we get to heaven. And he wants us to be in his hand. Notice in John 10, in John chapter 10, in verse 28, John 10, 28. What can Jesus do? John 10, 28 says, and I give unto them what?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. That is what Jesus can do. He can give us eternal life, and they shall what?
Never perish.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, no person can take that salvation away from us. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Okay, as we think about this then, okay, if we could bring up that last picture, Brother Joe. As we think about that, in what you're in, can you get a street view on that or not? I didn't know if you could. I didn't know if you were on something live where you could get a street view or if you have to take a shot of it. But if okay. All right, that's across the road. Okay. All right, so there's a street view. Okay, so we're thinking about the Lord, high and lifted up. And that's good because he's high and holy. And there's only one way to reach him, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death, and that's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay the wage for our sin. But if we only think of him way far off, We just lack in communication. So we need to bring it down closer. He's coming in the clouds, but bring it even closer. On the street view, he knows where we live. He's got our number. He knows all, we just read that in Psalm 147. He knows all of our heartaches. He knows all of our cares. And so he's well acquainted with us and our needs. So when you find a street view, then, what did you do today? You came up to those doors and did what? You came in. Would you notice in Revelation 3, Revelation chapter 3. Now, this morning, I don't think you had to knock. Maybe someone was there to open the door for you. Maybe you just walked in. But when it comes to our lives, this is what the Lord is waiting for. Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and what? knock. If any man hear my voice and what?
Open the door.
I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So the point is this, Jesus never batters down anyone's heart's door. Jesus never forces himself into any person's life. He waits, he knocks. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. So how can a person be saved? You have to invite him in. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. That is how we become saved. We invite Jesus in. We ask him to save us. In John 1:12, the Bible says, but as many as what? Received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That means Christians. Even to them that what?
Believe on his name.
That is how we be saved. That's how we invite him in, as we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10, 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe where? In thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
So it's confessing with our mouth. It's believing in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Well, that's talking about the resurrection. Well, I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but why do I have to believe in the resurrection? Well, the resurrection is what proves that his blood, his payment, was enough to wash away our sins. Because if you'll notice in chapter 6 there, Romans 6, 23, it says, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
So Jesus paid that wage, but was it enough? Well, that's what the resurrection proves. Yes, his payment was enough because death could not hold him. He rose from the grave. So back in Romans 10, in verse 10, Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what?
Not be ashamed.
So it's not just something we say with our mouth, but something we believe in our heart. So we're not ashamed of him. He's our Savior. Verse 13, for whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. If we call upon him to save us, he will. Then notice with me in Acts chapter 8. So what happens after we are saved? What happens after we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us? Well, then comes something to show that we are not ashamed. And Acts 8 and verse 36, Acts 8:36. Actually, let's back up to verse 35, Acts 8:35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be what?
Baptized.
So now this question comes up about baptism. So this eunuch says, okay, what is hindering me? What is stopping me from being baptized? Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou what? If thou believest with what?
All thine heart.
Remember we read about that in Romans 10? If we believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So the eunuch says, okay, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Well, first, you need to believe with all your heart. So what does he say? And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is who? The Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So what is this baptism picture?
Well, notice in Romans 6. So, Christ is standing at the door knocking. We receive him in. We ask him to save us. We believe in our heart that he died and rose again for our sins. And so now, how can we not be ashamed of him? Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. How do we show that? Well, we follow him in baptism. What does it mean? In Romans 6 and verse 3. Romans 6, 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That what? Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what?
Newness of life.
That's what baptism pictures, is I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of him. When I go under the water, and that's verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, that's why baptism is under the water. It pictures death to the old life of sin, coming up out of the water. It goes on to say in verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not what?
Serve sin.
Okay, so when we receive Christ as our Savior, our desire is to serve the Lord. We don't want to serve sin any longer. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No, we're not going to be perfect till Jesus comes and takes us to be with himself. But our desire is for him to give us a new life. We don't want to serve sin anymore. We want to serve Jesus Christ. So if we could one last time, Brother Joe, pick up the street view there. So you think about it. Today, right there, the door, Jesus is knocking. And what must we do? We must open the door and he will come in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. As we think about life, as we think about a clearer view of life, and as we started far out beyond space in heaven, looking back at earth, reminded that you are our creator. We are not here by accident. We are here by divine plan, each one of us. You have a plan for our lives. And Father, then, as we thought about that we should not just think of you as far, far away, but of your promises, something nearer, like the clouds. You promised that Jesus is coming in the clouds to catch away all whose sins are forgiven, all who have received you as Savior. You're going to catch them away to heaven one day. But Lord, we think about then right down to the street view. We think about, Lord, how you do not force yourselves into anyone's life. It must be invited to come in. And Father, I pray if there are any here this morning who have never yet repented of their sin and invited you to be their Savior. And then, Lord, maybe there's some here that have received you as Savior but are not yet baptized, have not yet taken that step to show, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do desire to no longer serve sin, but to serve you, Lord. Lord, if there are any here who have not followed you in baptism, help them to make that decision to not be ashamed of you. So, Lord, please work in all of our lives. We want a clear view of what life is really about. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.